Sojourn, Chapter 14, Montelio's Test.
"Well, I have waited long enough," Montelio said sternly late one afternoon. He gave the drow another shake.
"Waited?" Drizzt asked, wiping the sleep from his eyes.
"Are you a fighter or a wizard?" Montelio went on. "Or both? One of those multi-talented types. The elves of the surface are known for that."
Drizzt's expression twisted in confusion. "I am no wizard," he said at length.
"Keeping secrets, are you?"
Montelio scolded, though his continuing smirk lessened his gruff facade. He pointedly straightened himself out inside of Drizzt's bedroom hole and folded his arms over his chest.
"That will not do. I've taken you in, and if you are a wizard, I must be told."
"Why do you say that?" asked the perplexed drow. "Wherever did you—"
"Hooter told me,"
Montelio blurted. Drizzt was truly confused.
"In the fight when we first met," Montelio explained, "you darkened the area around yourself and some orcs. Do not deny it, wizard. Hooter told me."
"That was no wizard's spell," Drizzt protested helplessly. "And I am no wizard."
"No spell?" echoed Montelio. "A device, then. Well, let me see it."
"Not a device," Drizzt replied. "An ability. All drow, even the lowest ranking, can create globes of darkness. It is not such a difficult task." Montelio considered the revelation for a moment. He had no experience with dark elves before Drizzt had come into his life.
"What other abilities do you possess?"
"Fairy fire," Drizzt replied. "It's a line of—"
"I know the spell," Montelio said to him. "It is commonly used by woodland priests. Can all drow create this as well?"
"I do not know," Drizzt answered honestly. "Also, I am, or was, able to levitate. Only drow nobles can accomplish that feat. I fear that that power is lost to me, or soon shall be. That ability has begun to fail me since I have come to the surface, as my piwafwi, my boots, and my drow-crafted scimitars have failed me."
"Try it,"
Montelio offered. Drizzt concentrated for a long moment. He felt himself growing lighter. Then he lifted off the ground. As soon as he got up, though, his weight returned, and he settled back to his feet. He rose no more than 3 inches.
"Impressive," Montelio muttered.
Drizzt only laughed and shook his white mane. "May I go back to sleep now?" he asked, turning back to his bedroll. Montelio had other ideas. He had come to further feel out his companion, to find the limits of Drizzt's abilities, wizardly or otherwise. A new plan came to the ranger, but he had to set it into motion before the sun went down.
"Wait," he bade Drizzt. "You can rest later, after sunset. I need you now, and your abilities. Could you summon a globe of darkness, or must you take time to contemplate the spell?"
"A few seconds," Drizzt replied.
"Then get your armor and weapons," Montelio said, "and come with me. Be quick about it. I do not want to lose the advantage of daylight."
Drizzt shrugged and got dressed, then followed the ranger to the grove's northern end, a little-used section of the woodland complex. Montelio dropped to his knees and pulled Drizzt down beside him, pointing to a small hole on the side of a grassy mound.
"A wild boar has taken to living in there,"
the old ranger explained.
"I do not wish to harm it, but I fear to get close enough to make contact with the thing. Boars are unpredictable at best."
A long moment of silence passed. Drizzt wondered if Montelio simply meant to wait for the boar to emerge.
"Go ahead, then,"
the ranger prompted. Drizzt turned on him incredulously, thinking that Montelio expected him to walk right up and greet the uninvited and unpredictable guest.
"Do it," the ranger continued. "Enact your darkness globe right in front of the hole, if you please."
Drizzt understood, and his relieved sigh made Montelio bite his lip to hide his revealing chuckle. A moment later, the area before the grassy mound disappeared in blackness. Montelio motioned for Driz to wait behind and headed in. Driz tensed, watching and listening. Several high-pitched squeals issued forth suddenly. Then Montelio cried out in distress. Driz leaped up and charged in headlong, nearly tripping over his friend's prostrate form. The old ranger groaned and squirmed and did not answer any of Drow's quiet calls. With no boar to be heard anywhere about, Driz dropped down to find out what happened and recoiled when he found Montelio curled up, clutching his chest.
"Montelio!"
Driz breathed, thinking the old man seriously wounded. He leaned over to speak directly into the ranger's face, then straightened quicker than he had intended as Montelio's shield slammed into the side of his head.
"It is Drizzt!" the drow cried, rubbing his developing bruise.
He heard Montelio jump up before him, then heard the ranger's sword come out of its scabbard.
"Of course it is!" Montelio cackled.
"But what of the boar?"
"Boar? Ha!" Montelio echoed. "There is no boar, you silly drow. There never was one. We are the opponents here. The time has come for some fun."
Now Drizzt fully understood. Montelio had manipulated him to use his darkness merely to take away his advantage of sight. Montelio was challenging him on even terms.
"Flat of the blade," Drizzt replied, quite willing to play along. Hal Drizzt had loved such tests of skill back in Menzoberranzan with Zach Nefane.
"For the sake of your life!"
Montelio retorted with a laugh that came straight from his belly. The ranger sent his sword arcing in, and Driz's scimitar drove it harmlessly wide. Driz countered with two rapid and short strokes straight up the middle, an attack that would have defeated most foes, but did no more than play a two-note tune on Montelio's well-positioned shield. Certain of Driz's location, the ranger shield-rushed straight ahead. Drizzt was pushed back on his heels before he managed to get out of the way. Montelio's sword came in again from the side, and Drizzt blocked it. The old man's shield slammed straight ahead again, and Drizzt deflected his momentum, digging his heels in stubbornly. The crafty old ranger thrust the shield up high then, taking one of Drizzt's blades, and a good measure of the drow's balance along with it, then sent his sword screaming across at Drizzt's midsection. Drizzt somehow sensed the attack. He leaped back on his toes, sucked in his gut, and threw his rump out behind him. For all his desperation, he still felt the rush as the sword whisked past. Driz went on the offensive, launching several cunning and intricate routines that he believes would end this contest. Montelio anticipated each one, though, for all of Driz's efforts were rewarded with the same sound of a scimitar on shield. The ranger came on then, and Driz was sorely pressed. The drow was no novice to blind fighting. Montelio lived every hour of every day as a blind man and functioned as well and as easily as most men with perfect vision. Soon Drizzt realized that he could not win in the globe. He thought of moving the ranger out of the spell's area, but then the situation changed suddenly as the darkness expired. Thinking the game was over, Drizzt backed up several steps, feeling his way with his feet up the rising tree root. Montelio regarded his opponent curiously for a moment, noting the change in fighting attitude, then came on, hard and low. Driz thought himself very clever as he dove headlong over the ranger, meaning to roll to his feet behind Montelio and come back in from one side or the other as the confused human spun about, disoriented. Driz didn't get what he expected, though. Montelio's shield met the drow's face as he was halfway over, and Driz groaned and fell heavily to the ground. By the time he shook the dizziness away, he became aware that Montelio was sitting comfortably on his back, sword resting across Driz's shoulders.
"How?"
Driz started to ask. Montelio's voice was as sharp-edged as Driz had ever heard it.
"You underestimated me, drow. You considered me blind and helpless. Never do that again."
Driz honestly wondered for just a split second if Montelio meant to kill him, so angry was the ranger. He knew that his condescension had wounded the man, and he realized that Montelio de Brucci, so confident and able, carried his own weight upon his old shoulders. For the first time since he had met the ranger, Driz considered how painful it must have been for the man to lose his sight. What else, Driz wondered, had Montelio lost?
"So obvious," Montelio said after a short pause.
His voice had softened again.
with me charging in low as I did.
Obviously only if you sensed the darkness spell had ended, Driz replied, wondering how disabled Montaleo truly was. I would never have attempted that diving maneuver in the darkness without my eyes to guide me. Yet how could a blind man know that the spell was no more?
Ah, you told me yourself, Montaleo protested, still making no move to get off of Drizzt's back. In attitude, the sudden shuffle of your feet, too lightly to be made in absolute blackness, and your sigh, drow. The sigh belied your relief, though you knew it by then that you could not beat me without your sight.
Montaleo got up from Drizzt, but the drow remained prone, digesting the revelations. He realized how little he knew about his companion, how much he'd taken for granted when Montaleo was concerned.
"Come along, then," Montaleo said. "The knight's first lesson is ended. It's a valuable one, but there are other things that we must accomplish."
"You said that I could get some sleep," Driz reminded him.
"I had thought you more competent."
Montaleo replied immediately, casting a smirk the prone drow's way. While Drizzt eagerly absorbed the many lessons Montaleo set out for him, that night and in the days that followed, the old ranger gathered his own information about the drow. Their work was most concerned with the present, Montaleo teaching Drizzt about the world around him and how to survive in it. Invariably, one or the other, usually Drizzt, would slip in some comment about the past. It became almost a game between the two, remarking on some distant event, more to measure the shocked expression on the other than to make any relevant point. Montaleo had some fine anecdotes about his many years on the road, tales of valorous battles against goblins, and humorous pranks that the usually serious-minded rangers often played on one another. Driz remained a bit guarded about his own past, but still his tales of Mensa Baronzen, of the sinister and insidious academy and the savage wars pitting family against family, went far beyond anything Montaleo had ever imagined. As great as the drow's tales were, though, Montaleo knew that Drizzt was holding back, was carrying some great burden on his shoulders. The ranger didn't press Drizzt at first. He kept his patience, satisfied that he and Drizzt shared principles and, as he came to know with the drastic improvement of Drizzt's ranger skills, a similar way of viewing the world. One night, beneath the moon's silvery light, Drizzt and Montaleo rested back in wooden chairs that the ranger had constructed high in the boughs of a large evergreen. The brightness of the waning moon, as it dipped and dodged behind fast-moving scattered clouds, enchanted the drow. Montaleo couldn't see the moon, of course, but the old ranger, with Gwenhyver comfortably draped across his lap, enjoyed the brisk night no less. He rubbed a hand absently through the thick fur on Gwenhyver's muscled neck and listened to many sounds carried on the breeze, the chatter of a thousand creatures that the drow never even noticed, even though Drizzt's hearing was superior to Montaleo's. Montaleo chuckled every now and then, once when he heard a field mouse squealing angrily at an owl, Hooter probably, for interrupting its meal and forcing it to flee into its hole. Looking at the ranger and Gwenhyver, so at ease and accepting of one another, Drizzt felt the pangs of friendship and guilt. "Perhaps I should never have come," he whispered, turning his gaze back to the moon.
"Why?" Montaleo asked quietly. "You do not like my food?"
His smile disarmed Drizzt as the drow turned back to him somberly. "To the surface, I mean," Drizzt explained, managing a laugh in spite of his melancholy. "Sometimes I think my choice a selfish act."
"Survival usually is," Montaleo replied. "I have felt that way myself on some occasions. I was once forced to drive my sword into a man's heart. The harshness of the world brings great remorse, but mercifully, it is a passing lament, and certainly not one to carry into battle."
"How I wish it would pass," Drizzt remarked, more to himself or to the moon than to Montaleo. But the remark hit Montaleo squarely. The closer he and Drizzt had become, the more the young ranger shared Drizzt's unknown burden. The drow was young by elf standards, but was already world-wise and skilled in battle beyond most professional soldiers. Undeniably, one of Driz's dark heritage would find barriers in an unaccepting surface world. By Montelio's estimation, though, Drizzt should be able to get through these prejudices and live a long and prosperous life, given his considerable talents. What was it, Montelio wondered, that so burdens this elf? Drizzt suffered more than he smiled, and punished himself more than he should.
"Is yours an honest lament?" Montelio asked him. "Most are not, you know. Most self-imposed burdens are founded on misperceptions. We, at least we of sincere character, always judge ourselves by stricter standards than we expect others to abide by. It is a curse, I suppose, or a blessing, depending on how one views it."
He cast his sightless gaze Driz's way.
"Take it as a blessing, my friend, an inner calling that forces you to strive to unattainable heights."
"A frustrating blessing," Driz replied casually.
"Only when you do not pause to consider the advantages that the striving has brought to you,"
Montelio was quick to reply, as though he had expected the drow's words.
"Those who aspire to less accomplish less. There can be no doubt. It is better, I think, to grab at the stars than to sit flustered because you know you cannot reach them."
He shot Drizzt his typical wry smile.
"At least he who reaches will get a good stretch, a good view, and perhaps even a low-hanging apple for his effort.
And perhaps also a low-flying arrow fired by some unseen assailant," Drizzt remarked sourly. Montelio tilted his head helplessly against Driz's unending stream of pessimism. It pained him deeply to see the good-hearted drow so scarred.
"He might indeed,"
Montelio said, a bit more harshly than he had intended.
"But the loss of life is only great to those who chance to live it. Let your arrow come in low and catch the huddler on the ground, I say. His death would not be so tragic."
Driz could not deny the logic, nor the comfort the old ranger gave to him. Over the last few weeks, Montelio's off-handed philosophies and way of looking at the world, pragmatically yet heavily edged with youthful exuberance, put Driz more at ease than he'd ever been since his earliest training days in Zach Nefane's gymnasium. But Driz also could not deny the inevitably short lifespan of the comfort. Words could soothe, but they could not erase the haunting memories of Driz's past, the distant voices of dead Zach Nefane, dead Clacker, and the dead farmers. A single mental echo of Drizzt vanished hours of Montelio's well-intended advice.
"Enough of this cock-eyed banter," Montelio went on, seeming perturbed. "I call you friend, Drizzt Duarten, and I hope you call me the same. What sort of friend might I be against this weight that stoops your shoulders unless I know more of it? I am your friend, or am I not? The decision is yours, but if I am not, then I see no purpose in sharing nights as wondrous as this beside you. Tell me, Drizzt, or be gone from my home."
Drizzt could hardly believe that Montelio, normally so patient and relaxed, had put him in such a spot. The drow's first reaction was to recoil, to build a wall of anger in the face of the old man's presumptions and cling to that which he considered personal. As the moment passed, though, and Driz got beyond his initial surprise and took the time to sift through Montelio's statement, he came to understand one basic truth that excused those presumptions. He and Montelio had indeed become friends, mostly through the ranger's efforts. Montelio wanted to share in Driz's past, so that he might better understand and comfort his new friend. "Do you know of Munzibaranzan, the city of my birth and of my kin?" Drizzt asked softly. Even speaking the name pained him. "And do you know of the ways of my people, or the Spider Queen's edicts?" Montelio's voice was somber as he replied,
"Tell me all of it, I beg of you."
Drizzt nodded. Montelio sensed the motion even if he could not see it, and relaxed against a tree. He stared at the moon, but actually looked right past it, his mind wandering back through the adventures, back down that road to Menzoberranzan, to the academy, and to House Duharden. He held his thoughts there for a while, lingering on the complexities of drow family life, and on the welcomed simplicity of his times in the training room with Zach Nefane. Montelio watched patiently, guessing that Drizzt was looking for a place to begin. From what he had learned from Drizzt's passing remarks, Drizzt's life had been filled with adventure and turbulent times, and Montelio knew that it would be no easy feat for Drizzt, with his still limited command of the common tongue, to accurately recount all of it. Also, given the burdens, the guilt, and the sorrow the drow obviously carried, Montelio suspected that Drizzt might be hesitant. "I was born on an important day in the history of my family," Drizzt began. "On that day, House Duharden eliminated House Tevere."
"Eliminated?"
"Massacred," Drizzt explained. Montelio's blind eyes revealed nothing, but the ranger's expression was clearly one of revulsion, as Drizzt had expected. Drizzt wanted his companion to understand the horrible depths of drow society, so he pointedly added, "And on that day, too, my brother Dinan drove his sword through the heart of our other brother, Nalfane." A shudder cursed up Montelio's spine, and he shook his head. He realized that he was only just beginning to understand the burdens that Drizzt carried. "It is the drow way," Drizzt said calmly, matter-of-factly, trying to impart the dark elf's casual attitude towards murder. "There is a strict structure of rank in Menzoberranzan. To climb it, to attain a higher rank, whether as an individual or a family, you simply eliminate those above you." A slight quiver in his voice betrayed Drizzt to the ranger. Montelio clearly understood that Drizzt did not accept the evil practices and never had. Drizzt went on with his story, telling it completely and accurately, at least for the more than 40 years he'd spent in the Underdark. He told of his days under the strict tutelage of his sister Verna, cleaning the house chapel endlessly and learning of his innate powers and his place in drow society. Drizzt spent a long time explaining the peculiar social structure to Montelio, the hierarchies based on strict rank, and the hypocrisy of drow law, a cruel facade screening a city of utter chaos. The ranger cringed as he heard of the family wars. They were brutal conflicts that allowed for no noble survivors, not even children. Montelio cringed even more when Drizzt told him of drow justice, of the destruction wreaked upon the house that had failed its attempt to eradicate another family. The tale was less grim when Drizzt told of Zach Nefane, his father and dearest friend. Of course, Drizzt's happy memories of his father became only a short reprieve, a prelude to the horrors of Zach Nefane's demise. "My mother killed my father," Drizzt explained soberly, his deep pain evident. "Sacrificed him to Loth from my crimes, then animated his corpse and sent it out to kill me, to punish me for betraying the family and the Spider Queen." It took a while for Drizzt to resume, but when he did, he again spoke truthfully, even revealing his own failures in his days alone in the wilds of the Underdark. "I feared that I had lost myself and my principles to some instinctive, savage monster," Drizzt said, verging on despair. But then the emotional wave that had been his existence rose again, and a smile found his face as he recounted his time beside Belwar, the most honored Sverfneblin Borough Warden, and Clacker, the peck who had been polymorphed into a hook horror. Expectedly, the smile proved short-lived, for Drizzt's tale eventually led him to where Clacker fell to Matron Malice's undead monster. Another friend had died on Drizzt's behalf. Appropriately, by the time Drizzt came to his exit from the Underdark, the dawn peeked through the eastern mountains. Now Drizzt picked his words more carefully, not ready to divulge the tragedy of the farming family for fear that Montelio would judge him and blame him, destroying their newfound bond. Rationally, Drizzt could remind himself that he had not killed the farmers, had even avenged their deaths, But guilt was rarely a rational emotion, and Drizzt simply could not find the words. Not yet. Montelio, aged and wise with animal scouts throughout the valley, knew that Drizzt was concealing something. When they'd first met, the drow had mentioned a doomed farming family, and Montelio had heard of a family slaughtered in the village of Maldabar. Montelio didn't believe for a minute that Drizzt could have done it, but he suspected that the drow was somehow involved. He didn't press Drizzt, though. Drizzt had been more honest and more complete than Montelio had expected, and the ranger was confident that the drow would fill in the obvious holes in his own time.
"It is a good tale," Montelio said at length. "You have been through more in your few decades than most elves will know in 300 years. But the scars are few, and they will heal."
Drizzt, not so certain, put a lamenting look upon him, and Montelio could only offer a comforting pat on the shoulder as he rose and headed off for bed. Drizzt was still asleep when Montelio roused Hooter and tied a thick note to the owl's leg. Hooter wasn't so pleased at the ranger's instructions. The journey could take a week, valuable and enjoyable time at this height of the mousing and mating season. For all those whining hoots, however, the owl would not disobey. Hooter ruffled its feathers, caught the first gust of wind, and soared effortlessly across the snow-covered range to the passes that would take it to Maldabar, and beyond that to Sundabar, if need be. A certain ranger of no small fame, a sister of the Lady of Silvery Moon, was still in the region. Montelio knew this from his animal connections, and he charged Hooter with seeking her out.
"Will there be no end to it?"
the sprite whined, watching the burly human pass along the trail.
"First the nasty drow, and now this brute. Am I never to be rid of these troublemakers?"
Tifana slapped his head and stamped his foot so rapidly that he dug himself a little hole. Down on the trail, the big, scarred yellow dog growled and bared its teeth, and Tifanus, realizing that his pouting had been too loud, zipped in a wide semicircle crossing the trail far beyond the traveler and coming up on the other flank. The yellow dog, still looking in the opposite direction, cocked its head and whimpered in confusion.